Well, let's take your Bibles and turn over to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord meeting with us already during our song service. Thank God for the good songs of Calvary and singing about the cross and the blood. No better songs than that. I don't care what 7-Eleven's got, that's the best going. And I know that there's people that vary in opinions on that, but we don't need their opinion. We need the truth of God to find out what He likes. And I've never read in the Bible where He said, don't brag on my son. Right. Don't brag on Calvary. No, it's tell, I lift him up. In Genesis chapter 1, we started off with creation as one of the first five words describe the first five chapters of the Bible. We get down to chapter 2, and we start off and we find out in verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Now, you'll notice that in these first few verses, we get the provision of rest all the way down to verse 7, and He starts dealing with all that there and telling about rest. He does not say, keep the Sabbath and go to heaven. That's not in the text. That's nowhere in the Bible. And I've had a Seventh-day Adventist or a 15 ask me before now, and plus this one messed up Pentecostal person that's half Pentecostal, half Seventh-day Adventist, said, well, if the Sabbath is not Sunday, then if they moved it from Saturday to Sunday, he said, tell me where it is and I'll come to your church. I showed him in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, they worshiped the Lord on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians over there, they worshiped the Lord on the first day of the week. When Paul said, upon the first day of the week, I'll come there. I said, how many more you need? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He fulfilled it. We worshiped it on the Lord's day because it's the Lord's day. It's the day He got it from the grave. The Jew meets on the Sabbath. I've never met a Jewish Seventh-day Adventist. You know why? They ain't no such thing. Because they're Jew, they know better. They know better. They know that that's given for a Jew, but the principle we can't get away from. One day a week, you got to have rest. And that principle has been shown over and over and over and over in your health. See, what happens is people don't rest their bodies. They get in a mess because they run all the time, and next thing you know, they fall apart. And I know when you're in your 20s, that ain't no problem. In your 30s, you sleep a little bit longer sometimes. But when you get in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, all of a sudden you realize something. Man, I should have took a day off back there. I'll tell you what I'd do. If I was you, I'd do two things. I'd worship the Lord on Sunday. And I'd take the Sabbath off and get me two every week if I could.
Amen.
Cut your grass some other time. Hire you somebody if you got the money. Listen, if you got kids, put them out there. Listen, my grandpa told me they had 12 kids so they could put them all to work. Wasn't because they felt like they needed to replenish the earth. They thought there's plenty of people here, but what they needed was help in the field.
Amen.
They said, what are we going to do about it? He said, we can't afford to hire nobody. So let's have some youngins. So they had a bunch of youngins. Mm-hmm. That's what they did on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Just telling you what he said. But listen, we got the provision of rest in the first seven verses. Then God gives us the provision of real estate in verse 8 down to verse 17. And on the provision of real estate, He says this, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And the name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasses the whole land, Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good, and the bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as it compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God told man for a fact something would happen if he ate that tree. He didn't say if he touched it, something would happen. He said if he ate it, something would happen. Now, as we get into that thing, God gives a provision for real estate. And what God had man to do is work. I know people get disabled and can't work. I totally understand that. But what I totally don't understand is how you can scam the government and tell them you're nuts or that your back hurts and you can't work and you're just lying. I don't see how people do that. Listen, those people are usually, if they go to church, they're the meanest people in church. They don't know what manner of spirit they're of. They're of a false spirit. They're deceitful. And then you got some poor guy who really gets hurt on a job. He hates taking something like that because he's worked all his life. But I see this. Listen, you've got that desire in you because God put that desire in there. There's the provision of that work and things like that. But we get to the third part of this chapter, and I want to read all these verses here about the provision. We've got the provision of rest. We got the provision of real estate. And now, boys and girls, we get into the provision of romance. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. As we look at these first five words that describe the first five chapters of the Bible, the first one we saw was creation. And in this message today, we're going to look at the word care. Care. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. We pray, Lord God, that you'll help us, Lord God, to understand the great truths of the Word of God. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we're looking in Genesis chapter 2, and we're talking about the word care, we see the instructions, literally, that God gave concerning marriage. Now, here's the thing. That word care, we see that God cared enough that in the first provision of rest, he cared enough to tell you need to rest. You can't go all the time. Then he told you that he cared enough to tell you about what to do with real estate. And now he gets involved in romance. One of the biggest problems in marriage, and I'll say this right off the outset, is this. Is people want God to follow them in marriage rather than them follow God in the marriage.
Right.
Here's the thing. You mark this down and put it wherever you need to keep important things or memorize it. But generally, all failed relationships start and end at the same place. Generally. 9 out of 10 times. Say, what does that mean? Let me translate that for you. It goes like this. If you find them in a beer joint, you will probably leave them or they'll leave you in a beer joint. If you find them in adultery, they will probably leave you or you will leave them in adultery. That's the general rule on that. And before the devil tries to give you the exception always proves the rule. Now notice this, when we look at the instructions concerning marriage, I want to start off with you in verse 18 and show you the plan of marriage from the Bible. God's plan is this, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. He said he brought them two together, and the couple is not to be working to get apart. Working separate jobs or something's one thing, but let me point something out to you. Boys' night and girls' night out's over the day you get married.
Yep.
Listen, I totally understand people saying, well, what about my buddies? Listen, your buddy, you married your buddy now.
Yep.
You need to make sure you stay together with your buddy. Listen, just like in combat, they'll tell you, watch out for your buddy. Well, you're in marriage, watch out for your buddy. Take her everywhere you go. Ma'am, take him everywhere except the bathroom. Listen, take him where you go.
Amen.
Hey, listen, we're talking about the couple is not to be apart because God brought them together, and the devil will use every trick he's got to have some kind of way to get y'all separated.
Right.
Now, listen to me. I don't think that, I don't think you men should have to endure a shopping trip, but sometimes you need to go. Thank you for the one amen I got. I'm still preaching. You think you're dying? Wait till I get on this other one. Ma'am, I don't expect you to go fishing with him, but it wouldn't hurt to go every once in a while.
Amen.
Say, I don't like doing it. But he bait the hook for you. But how somebody puts up with childbirth and all that stuff that goes back and can't handle a little worm in your hand, I don't understand that. I really don't get that. I tell you, I'm right on it now. I'm right in the will of God right now. Plowing the road. But always try to stay together. Try to stay together. So I can't stand him. Well, why did you marry him?
Right.
Yeah. Well, he's an idiot. Why did you marry him? My goodness, listen. Stay together. So he gets on my nerves. He's supposed to. She gets on my last nerve. She's supposed to. That's what friends are for, honey. And that's what a marriage is all about, learning how to put up with all that. Let me say this. The couple is to be a help to each other. He said that he said, I'll make him an help meet. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22 says, submitting yourselves, it says, to one to another in the fear of the Lord, or in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. It didn't say be a slave. It didn't say fetch his beer. Listen, if I was married to a bum that said fetch me a beer, I'd throw it at him.
Right.
And pour the rest of them out. Say, so I'd make him mad, tough. Hey, listen, so you got to draw the line on that stuff. I've had more than one Christian lady pray for my husband. He's a drunk. And I see her at the store buying his beer. You know how you end that problem? Quit buying it. So it's real simple. So you don't know how it gets. I know how they get. I used to be like that too. Listen, if you make a stand for something, God will stand for you. He'll stand for you, with you, and about you.
Right.
And listen to this. The couple is to be a help to each other. The Lord puts you with someone so you can help each other, not compete with each other. I've seen husbands and wives, literally, they're in competition to see who can do what the best. That ain't why God put y'all together. God put you together to be a help to each other. I've seen people go around with this stuff and say, well, my husband makes so much money, but I make more than him. And he'll say, well, I make more money than her. And they're competing financially. Guess what you're fixing to head towards? You're fixing both finance and lawyer if you don't watch out.
Yeah.
This ain't, listen, we ain't competing for a trophy to see who's the better of the two. You're one. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Either y'all listening real good, or you mad, or you scared to death. But just listen, something. Listen, you got to understand, y'all are together now, one. Now watch this. If you look in verse 20, we see God's plan of marriage. And then verse 20 down to verse 23, we see the people of marriage. Here's what God said. Plain and simple, right here. You ready? He said, and Adam, verse 20, gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. God's plan of marriage, his instruction, his second instruction is the people of marriage. God said, look at it again, a man and a woman. That's always been God's plan of marriage. And the reason it's been like that, no other combination works. Man and animal does not work. Man and man does not work. Woman and woman does not work. And woman and animal don't work. Everybody's so saddened by the passing of Muhammad Ali, the boxer, Cassius Clay. But do you know even he had enough sense to know that you marry what you're supposed to marry? I see a lot of people, they knock that guy, but he had some sense. I mean, listen, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. But I find this out, when it comes to the people of marriage, if you were to poll America right now who's supposed to get married, they don't know. And the reason being, they fell so far from Scripture that the devil has stolen Genesis chapter 1 from them. It wasn't no problem to steal chapter 2, he's already got chapter 1.
Right.
Nobody cares. Remember that word? Care. Nobody cares. I see that, listen, Genesis states plainly a man and a woman for the marriage altar. A man and a woman. But not only does Genesis state that, Jesus stated that. Matthew chapter 19, he said from the beginning, he said this. Matthew 19, he said, have you not read that he which made them from the beginning made them male and female?
Right.
And listen, somebody said to me one time, I said, what about homosexuals? Okay, let me tell you something about homosexuals. That ain't even a word. Listen, that's a late term word. The word that you're looking for is pervert.
Yep.
Right.
See, if you got a man, you got a woman, you know what we call that? That's not heterosexual. Let me tell you what that word is. Normal.
Yep.
Amen.
Normal. Everything outside that is perverted.
Yep.
Get that. Don't let people fool you with this stuff. What about gender neutral? No. Normal, perverted.
Yep.
Say it. Listen, we're going to have a say-along. Say it with me. Normal, perverted.
Amen.
You in one of the two categories. Now, you say, that's just your no, that's not my definition. That's Jesus Christ's definition of marriage. He defines who gets married. It's a man and a woman. God stated it in Genesis chapter 2. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, states it in Matthew 19. It's too plain to miss. He didn't say a man and a child. You say, that's disgusting. It's coming your way.
Yep, right.
You think this bathroom issue something? Wait till they want to marry your five-year-old.
Yep.
It doesn't say a woman and a child. I wish somebody listened. And all these liberal schools around here is teaching all these school teachers. I wish that teacher ain't supposed to sleep with her students.
Yep.
Right.
I wish they'd teach that somewhere. I wish they'd teach that at Limestone College and Walford and Winthrop and all these other places around here. Clemson, USC, and all the rest of them. Chapel Hill, all of them need to learn that. A relationship's not a woman and a child. A relationship's not two men and it's not two women. That's not normal. That, say it with me, perverted. We learned some lessons today, boys and girls. Listen, we're going to talk right, because why? It's right. Now listen, God gave the instructions concerning marriage. These are not my opinion. They are what God says. They're right there in the Bible in front of you. First, He gave the plan of marriage. Then He gave the people of marriage. But then something happened over here. And we see the third instruction that God tells us to watch out for. And that's this guy. We've been talking about perverts. And it's this guy, the perverter of marriage. If you look at chapter 3, verse 1, somebody shows up, and it says in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. It's very strange how the perverter of marriage shows up after two chapters where God lays the foundation for creation. Then he lays the foundation for marriage. We get over in chapter 3 and his first words is attacking the Bible. People's first words in the Bible generally are something, man. Because if you look at how some people let on, you'll find out that you find a guy named Samson. His first words, I saw a woman. You go over here to the devil, he's questioning the word of God. And the perverter of marriage is somebody you better take very seriously. Because if not, you will find yourself in a place you don't want to be in. See, a lot of people never realize that the perverter of marriage was after them from the beginning until they're sitting there at the house and she's took everything and the kids and the furniture and everything but your t-shirt and your pants. A lot of women never realize how far the perverter of marriage will try to carry them until they're sitting there wondering how he got custody of the kids and I didn't. He's after you. He don't like the first two chapters of the Bible. He took about 200 years of his time and got people to believe in something called evolution. And he done that trick with not even 1 ounce of proof. Not 1 ounce. And then the funniest thing is, he so stole that from us that when he got to concerning marriage, we already lost faith in the Bible in chapter 1. We had somebody tell us it wasn't real. Then we get to chapter 2, and God says, the man and the woman, we've been taught everything but that. Do you know right now, and we can still preach that in this country, but there's coming a day they're going to call this a hate crime?
Yep.
Let me state for the record, I don't hate anybody. I take the position God takes. I hate sin.
Yep.
But I do not hate people that's involved in sin. I feel sorry for them. I pray for them. I witness to them. But I do know this much. That perverter of marriage will show up. His identity is clearly the devil, but he'll come to you as everything but the devil. He'll try to question the Word of God, and if he can get you on creation, he'll get you on marriage, and if he gets you on marriage, he'll get you to fall right into the same trap Adam and Eve did. I've heard people tell me over the years, boy, if I'd have been Adam, I'd have did this and I'd have did that. No, you wouldn't have done anything. You'd have been sitting there right there at the same place he was, standing beside her while the devil's talking to him, keeping your mouth shut, because that's what half of men do nowadays. I know this ain't popular, but this is what you call real life here. Listen. The problem we got in America today, we got too many following the example of the perverter of marriage and instead of the priest of marriage, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got people looking at the perverter of marriage and they're saying, well, you know, we got to work, we got to do this, we got to make it 50-50. And that, my dear friend, is the biggest problem in marriage today. It's not 50-50, it's 100-100. Anything less is uncivilized, man. It's not going to work out. I find out that the perverter of marriage comes along, his identity is Satan, his identity is the devil. He comes in and the Bible says this about him. He was more subtle than any beast of the field. You will never even see it coming. I'm trying to warn you today to help you, but you will never see it coming. If you got boys night out playing, guess what happened? He'll get in that thing. See, while you out having boys' night out, she's going to be sitting there lonely at the house, and she's going to get on Facebook, and there's old hun from high school. Hey, I just saw you on Facebook, thought I'd say hello. What are you doing? Oh, nothing, just sitting here alone, a pretty thing like you. And I'm telling you, listen, the devil will come along and smiles her up like that, and the next thing you know what you'll be doing? Honey, where are you going? Well, you had boys' night out. Me and the girls going out. She ain't going out no girl. She's going out somebody going to spend some time with her. You say, well, we got a shopping trip planned for Friday and Saturday, and we're going to drive down and go to the beach. Honey, you stay here and watch the kids. He will. But he'll be on Facebook, too. And he'll see old hun from high school. And she'll say, how you doing? He'll say, I'm doing pretty good. Just sitting here having to cook my own eggs. And she'll say, well, you ought not have to do it. You ought to have you a good woman to do that for you. He'll say, I know. I need a good woman. And she'll make herself available to him. So I wouldn't cook for that rascal. That's right. She will. And then before long, she'll be cooking for him. So how'd that happen? There's a beast more subtle than any beast of the field. And he just slipped right in there while you was not paying attention. While you were saying, our preacher's just too strict. He's too tight. He's old-fashioned. While you were saying that, he was already saying, you right. You don't need all that. You make your own decisions. That's what he does. He comes along and he does all this for one reason. He is jealous of everything God does. Satan can't create. Satan can only invent. He's like man. He's limited on that side. If you've ever seen the symbol where they got the white and black symbol joined together, the yin and yang, that's not true. Because God's over everything. The devil is not on an equal playing ground to Jesus Christ. He's subservient to him. And in his subtlety, he'll try to make you think he's equal. He's not equal, not at all. But what I do see is this. I see that serpent that's more subtle than any beast of the field crawling along, and I see him being jealous of the thing of God's creation, and then God's care for marriage. He looks at that thing and says, you know what? I hate that. And why does he hate it so much? Because the Bible says expressly that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Why does he attack the marriage? Because the marriage is a picture of Christ and his bride, the church. He's tried to divide them, and he hates that relationship there. If he divides that, he divides this one. It's just real simple for him. People can come along with every excuse they've got of why they don't go to church or all this other stuff. They's hypocrites, they's this, they's that. It won't hurt for one more to come. Come on. But I'm going to tell you something. He'll try to get you out of the way with church because if he divides you on that relationship, he mocks the Lord by doing that, he'll divide your home next. It's just a matter of time. Why? He's the perverter of marriage. America is the only country that I've heard about in recent years where the man and the woman want to shack up, but the two men want to get married. While they do that, the perverted marriage showed up. And for these people to tell me they was born that way, let me tell you something. Look how perverted you are, how perverted you are in your thinking. This is how messed up you are. If you're a woman who likes other women, why did you like a woman that looks like a man? And if you're a man who likes other men, why do you want to find one that's dressed up like a woman that's got a mustache? Perverted.
Amen.
Perverted. So what about, no. Perverted. This thing was called a psychological disorder to the last 20 years. You know what happened? Sodomites got on the board of these education and writing these books. That's what happened. God's book hadn't changed. It's still the same. And it's still this word, care. Why does God start off the Bible? Now listen to this. Telling you about creation and marriage before he gets into the picture of salvation. I've always wondered that. That's an interesting thing. He didn't start off the Bible by talking about being saved. But he did talk about creation. And he did talk about marriage. Here's why. God wants you to know that he created this planet. He did. He put his first institution here before he ever put a church here. He put a marriage here. And the family. He's building the foundations up because by the time we get to Genesis chapter 3, man falls headlong into sin and has been blaming God for it ever since. So how'd that happen, that perverter of marriage? He keeps blaming God. He makes you think God's at fault. How do people think God's at fault? It's real simple. Now watch this. Don't miss what the devil's trying to get you on now. He's trying to make you think God hates you or that there is no God and all this stuff's going on and why don't God stop it? The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That perverter came along. And two things that every family's founded on this. God and marriage. It don't work shacking up. I've had people tell me, well, you got to test old car for it, make sure it runs right. I'm going to tell you something. I married a woman, not a car.
Amen.
It didn't say a man in a car gets married. It said a man and a woman. And listen to this. One of the other trade up to a later model later on. You run out of gas one day, honey, and he'll put you out of seat because your airbags are empty now. Your paint job's wrinkled up. You look like you've been weathered. He's going to get something with a little bit newer model than that. Don't say it won't happen to you. You'll be the next one. Say, you don't know how much my husband loves me or how much my wife loves me. No, but I know how much the devil hates you. And I see this. Ladies, be very careful. He didn't come to the man. He came to the woman. See, the funniest thing about all this, if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's look over there. Here's the strangest thing happens. Adam and Eve standing in that garden. And the devil don't talk to him, he talks to her. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Before he ever gives the qualifications for a pastor or a preacher, he says this in verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I say to all you women preachers the same thing. You're not qualified to do what you're doing.
Amen.
So I can't find a man to do it. That's a nice idea, but we in America, I don't know how it is overseas, but right here you got to drive by 50 churches pastored by men to get to the one you pastor, lady. God's word ain't changed. And by the way, it didn't say that's Paul's opinion right there either. One time in the Bible, he said, I'm going to give what I think about it. The rest of the time, it's all Scripture. But he says this. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Is that what the Bible? We read that in Genesis 2, right? Okay. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Wait a minute. Adam knew? Of course he did. He had fellowship with God. He talked with God face to face. God said, do not eat that. The devil came up to her. The only thing she knew was that her husband said God said that. They didn't have a written Bible like you and I have. And it says that she was being deceived in the transgression. We see that Adam knew. And when she handed him that thing to eat, guess what he did? Because he loved her, he took that thing and ate it, right? He wasn't deceived. He loved his wife. And he saw death pass upon her the moment she partook of that thing, whatever it was. And he gave his life for her. In 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ is given this title, the last Adam. And the reason being, the day you were born into sin, and the day you chose to sin for the first time, Christ wasn't deceived. You were. The serpent come. He is more subtle than the beast of the field. I don't know what he got you with. He got you with something. And then now, all of a sudden, you fell headlong into sin. You were born into sin, and you're a product of sin, and you sin. And Christ said, you know what? I know you're going to die and go to hell. Father, I'll go on and die on that cross for them, that their sin might be put on me, and that my righteousness shall be put on them. And you know what he did? He gave himself for you. He took your sin and your punishment, and he took that for you so that you might be saved. This is the part where you say amen.
Amen.
You say, preacher, that's been bad news all up now, except for them good instructions you gave on marriage. Thank God Jesus came and he wasn't deceived. Thank God, listen, thank God when he came, he died for my sin. Thank God he suffered, bled, and died for every one of them. And guess what? He made the offer to everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, when we get to Genesis chapter 2, we're seeing something. We're seeing the call of God in chapter 1 for a great creator. But then we see somebody cares in chapter 2, where he gives out the plain instructions before the tempter ever come along. You and I are looking back on that. In our marriages and our homes, we've been tempted, we've failed, and everything else. How about let's do something? Let's start over. Let's hit the reset button. Let's start over and say, you know what? I've been parented bad. I don't know about you, but if you have a parent, and I've heard parents this church that over the years say this stupid stuff. Well, if you'd just listened to your daddy back in 1991, I'd have told you this, that, and other. Okay, you were 5 years old then. I had one say this. Well, you'd have some money now if you'd have listened to your daddy. I told you back when you done this, you should have done this and this and this. I said, oh, how much money you got? Big financial advisor, broke. It's like a fat person telling a skinny person, if you do this diet, you'll lose some weight. Nobody's listening. And when broke people give out financial advice to other broke people, it's like, oh, what? Come on now. If I want to listen to financial advice, I'll go find me a Trump to listen to or something. Somebody's got money. I ain't coming to us. That's dumb. That'd be like you come to me for dental hygiene. I have false teeth. What could I tell you? But when it comes to your marriage, let's go to the Lord and see how it should run, not how society says. Not what your friends think. Not what your opinion is. Let's get back to what God says about it. So what we need to do, just push that reset button. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, not our faults, not our weaknesses, not everybody's sins, everybody makes, no, your sins. If we confess our sins, what's he doing? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And Revelation 1:5, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that Revelation 1:5, he washed us clean by his blood. Let's push the reset button and let's get our hearts right with God. Instead of carrying all this other stuff, let's carry this. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Genesis chapter 2. Take of my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's his marriage. That's your relationship with him. See, if you come to him and let him do a work in your life like that, he will. Christian, today you don't have to carry baggage. You ever been to one of them fancy motels where they come down there and the doors open and there's a little dude there with a little hat, looks like a little trained monkey, what they call them guys, a bellhop or something like that. And he comes up, I'll get that for you, sir. And he carries your luggage for you. Your wife's packed everything for the kitchen sink. You tipped that guy $20 just because you felt sorry for him having to drag all that stuff, didn't you? Guess what? Jesus is a servant. He's that bellhop.
He'll take your carrying. He'll carry your load for you. All you got to do is walk to His promise. Follow Him. You ever notice when you go to one of them places like that and you see them on TV and all that? They don't lead the bellhop to the room. He leads them. You know why? Because somebody called ahead and made reservations for you. You know what He done? He's made reservations for you. You don't have to carry that load no more. I thank God every day. Listen, God gives you the opportunity to repent and come to Him. And if your marriage isn't right today, you can start all over. You can start all over. If your life isn't right with God, guess what? You start all over. That's how good our God is. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.